This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North. Many people in America are living in fear. As the Trump administration continues to stoke fears over immigration raids, there's some confusion over the rights guaranteed to all people in the United States, regardless of immigration status. Emilio De Torre is the director of community engagement at the ACLU of Wisconsin, and he regularly gives talks to groups about how to interact with law enforcement while preserving their own rights. He joins Lake Effect's Joy Powers now to talk about his work.
It's important for everyone to know that the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and our state constitution apply to everybody. And obviously, that's why the ACLU exists, right? People are frequently attempting to deny people equal access to rights. And a big part of what our trainings are, they inform people who are in typically marginalized communities what their rights are, especially if historically those rights haven't been respected or they've been stepped on or they've been told that they don't have these rights even though they do. These rights could be know your rights during a police encounter. These rights could be know your rights during any governmental encounter. But now especially we're getting a lot of requests for knowing your rights during ICE or immigration encounters. And what does that look like? Some people, it seems, like to believe that if you are – or they imagine at least that if you visit another country like the United States or any country, magically you have no rights. You're just kind of floating there. And that's wrong and that's disgraceful and it's un-American to think that and to perpetuate that. When we're talking about know your rights if ICE encounters you, either in your workplace or on the street, that's really important to know because the stakes are high. And there's a lot of fear and a lot of misconceptions with what people can do and don't do. One common misconception that folks have here in Wisconsin especially is that police can interrogate your child or a young person, whether you're a citizen or not, and hold them accountable for the things that they say. And I like to bring that up as an example because I think it has a very visceral impact in mothers and fathers and people that, you know, recall how fragile a child's life is. And when they're being interrogated by police or federal government official, that's terrifying. Here are adults with guns and weapons telling you that you can get in trouble and all of these bad things can happen to you. And that is a disgusting imbalance of power. And when the stakes then might be that this child is afraid that their parent, who may be an asylum seeker or refugee or an immigrant or maybe a citizen and doesn't speak English well enough, or a citizen and they're worried that because their name is, you know, Emilio de Torre, that their mom or dad is going to get in trouble because of the color of the skin or how many vowels are in their name. And so they're terrified. And this is very real.
That kind of speaks to the general imbalance that we see in so many of these interactions, specifically when we're talking about immigrants who don't have legal status. There is a kind of feeling of, well, what are my rights? So I'd like to go through some scenarios. You know, if you are somebody, regardless of immigration status, who has been stopped on the street by a police officer or law enforcement more generally, what should you keep in mind?
Sure. The most important thing is that you do not need to speak to law enforcement. If it's an ICE agent or a police agent, you don't have to speak to them unless you're driving a car or you don't have to present your driver's license. You should never present false documentation. You know, guaranteed, underline that in red. So if you've got a fake driver's license, you're an underage drinker, you're presenting some sort of license that you have that you're using that's just baloney, don't present that. And know that you're going to be held accountable for anything you say. So lots of times people feel that they need to protest their innocence or, you know, I've seen seasons 1 through 5 of CSI. I know how to handle this. And that's nonsense because generally this is the first time a person has had this encounter with law enforcement, whatever that law enforcement might be. They're banking on the fact that they know that you're nervous, your heart is beating quicker, you don't understand why you're being stopped, you want to protest your innocence, and they begin to say foolish things and things for which they can be held culpable. And so it's really important that they don't say anything and they have to assert their right to remain silent. So they say, I don't wish to talk to you. The converse side of that is people feel like they're going to be assumed that they're guilty for not speaking, or won't the police assume that I'm guilty if I tell them they can't search my car?
Well, and it seems like, at least in some of these situations, having watched videos, that police officers will say that to the people they've stopped. Well, you know, if you're innocent, then you know, why aren't you talking to me?
It's so common. So that's an example of verbal judo. The police have had this encounter 20 to 30, 40, 50 times a day. And so they know what to say to get you to go. It's just like playing chess or martial arts. You know, if you faint here, you're probably going to do this next and that next. If you move your pawn here, this is probably the next step you have. And so they know that if they imply guilt, why can't I search your car? Do you have drugs or something? The implication then is that you're a drug smuggler. And the anxiety and anguish you feel that you're going to get some sort of, you know, midnight cowboy punishment behind this is brutal. And so people then waive their rights and allow police or law enforcement to search things. And we also don't know. I mean, just take a look at what was circulating all over the news last week about the officer intentionally planting meth on people that he wanted to stop, or the officer in Maryland who is planting crack cocaine on folks, or the officers who carry dummy guns and throw dummy guns around. So maybe they don't like your face. You don't know that officer that's stopping you. Why gamble with your freedom and your life? They already think you look guilty. That's why they stopped you out of the thousands of other people. So using that as a presupposition, you want to get home safe and healthy to be with your family.
So you don't have to talk to someone unless you've been stopped in a vehicle. What do you have to say if you've been stopped in a vehicle?
So if you've been stopped in a vehicle, it's really important that people maintain their composure. They turn off their radio. They put their hands on the steering wheel at 10 and 2, just like they learned in driver's ed. They've turned off their car. And then they wait for the officer to engage them. They have to have a license and you know, proof of registration or insurance. And if the officer asks for these things, I like to say, "Officer, I keep my registration in the glove compartment. I'm going to reach over there and grab my registration. Is that okay?" They may ask you if you have any weapons in the car, and you should let them know that if you have weapons in the car so that they don't shoot you or freak out if they see that you've got a gun that you have a license for that's in the glove compartment or something somewhere. And you should just answer their questions and not volunteer anymore. So if an officer, for example, says, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" Politely say, "Officer, maybe you should tell me why you pulled me over," as opposed to giving them different examples of why they should have perhaps pulled you over or just blathering. Police officers can order your passengers out of the car, but your passengers don't really have to identify themselves, and they shouldn't. And listen, just because these are your rights don't mean that they're going to just accept your answers. They may be rude. They may be aggressive. They may be brusque. They may say cruel things. They may speak out of name. It's very important to remember that you always have the right to videotape law enforcement. You should, if you feel threatened, you should record this. I recommend that maybe you put this on Facebook Live. If you are a passerby, you may want to record this and draw attention to it or not, depending on whether or not you're quick. Unprofessional assessment is that I'm hopefully going to alleviate harm of this person to let law enforcement know that I'm watching this and documenting it. And that's with ICE too. You need to share this information. Sometimes there's a lot of misinformation that I've seen as recently as this morning, where people see a guy in a black SUV and assume they're ICE, or see like an organ transport vehicle and they don't know that that's an organ transport vehicle, even though it says it, and they jump to conclusions. Or people say, "Oh, undercovers are here." It's important that you document and share these things in a way that doesn't generate fear, that gets the story out, and then maybe draw some clarity to it. Definitely record. Only the driver presents these information. The rest of the folks should be quiet. If the officer says something that you believe to be a lie or wrong, make a mental note of the officer's name, their badge, their ID, the car, the location, where you got stopped, and then file a complaint with the Fire and Police Commission here in Milwaukee, the Police and Fire Commission in Madison, or whomever. The ACLU is happy to let you know where you can find some accountability.
You just mentioned, you know, an organ transplant vehicle that people kind of confused and thought might be ICE. When it comes to law enforcement, whether it's a police department or ICE or Border Patrol, what do they need to show you so you know who they are?
That's a trickier question, because much to the consternation of good law enforcement officers across the country, and we're talking sheriffs, deputies, police chiefs, ICE has been acting in a dishonorable way where they're pretending to be police and law enforcement and showing up at people's houses or showing up on the street with jackets that say police on the back, when in fact that they're ICE. And that's deplorable because somebody may, you know, who cares if you are a refugee or asylum seeker or an unauthorized immigrant? You're still a part of that community and you care about what's happening to your neighbors. And you may think, oh, my neighbor might be in problem, or the old lady or a man that lives next to me, something may have happened to them. Let me see if I can help. And now you get deported because you open the door because you're answering ICE, who's in disguise. So if an ICE agent knocks on your door, demand to see a warrant that's signed by a judge. Now, there's a trick here, too, because they'll print these things called administrative warrants. And that's baloney, right? Like, that's me printing a diploma online and just having my colleague or one of my two intern friends here sign that and say, this now makes it official because my coworker signed this. And that's nonsense. So it should say Honorable Judge so-and-so, and look for that. If you're a Spanish speaker, honorable and honorable are the same word, and you'll see that that makes sense. You can find these examples online. They're a great resources. Surely, Joy, we're only going to touch the tip of the iceberg here, but CasaTheMaryland.org has a very comprehensive document that explains how to make a plan with your family for safety, how to get which documents you need. If you're worried about getting legal representation, the American Immigration Lawyers Association has some great Know Your Rights documents, and they hot link to forms like a G28 form, which will allow you to get legal representation if you do get caught up and detained. There's so many important things to know during these times that you want to make a plan of safety for your family. You want to demand to see a warrant and have them slide it under the door, hold it up to the keyhole, and then don't let folks in and don't speak to them. You don't have to say anything. And they may try to trick you. Maybe ICE shows up at your workplace and they say, okay, we just have some routine questioning. Everybody who is a citizen, stand to the left. Everybody who is an immigrant, stand to the right. You don't have to comply. You just go stand in a third place. Stay where you're standing. If you're working in a place that has both private and public areas, like maybe it's a church, maybe it's a temple, maybe it's a mosque, you have a public area for convening, fine. Law enforcement, ICE agents can come in there. But you have private areas where you're running Bible studies, or you have a daycare, or it's where, you know, folks meet for more private, like wedding counseling or something. Make sure that they know that they can't go there. And that's private. And if they don't have a signed warrant, they don't get to go there. It's very important that we show what we are really about as a country and stand up for our brothers and sisters at this moment now.
What are the kinds of rights you have if you are a temple or church or mosque?
So the ACLU has some interesting white pages on that, and we're happy to share that. And certainly we've been traveling around the state meeting with very interested people who hear echoes of what happened during the 30s and 40s in Europe happening now. And they're much stronger than echoes, right? So congregations and people of faith have been meeting to talk about a variety of things. How do they show that their morality, that their religious faith applies to their deeds as well? So they've been talking about making sure that they're open and welcoming. They've been identifying themselves as sanctuaries. They've been active in the community, letting people know that hate has no home here. They're doing trainings to find out. They create their own rapid responses and rapid responders. And there are dozens and dozens of these across the state where if people identify what they think is an ICE incursion in their community, then they're working with citizens who care to send citizens there to identify the problem, to question the suspected threat, to ask why these people are there, to document them, to photo them, to let them know that this is not appropriate for our community or our state. And there's a lot of that. They've been training community members, making sure that they have people that speak the languages of the impacted population on staff, identifying what is public and private, making sure that they're stepping up security so that people can't just walk into private areas like a daycare, which was a big issue. When you're a welcoming faith, like many of the temples and churches and mosques we have here, they have this very open, warm identity in a neighborhood. And so it bothers them that they have to protect their congregations in such a way where they feel like they have to change this open, warm identity that they have and now begin to question people that are showing up that look official or question people that they're worried are going to rip members of their faith congregations away. And I've had this conversation with, you know, you pick a religion, they've reached out to us and they've wanted to know how they can help and what they can do.
And that's especially concerning when you're talking about a daycare. No one wants to imagine that they leave their 3-year-old and now they have to worry about them at this church.
Yeah. or worry about them during the pickup. Like it's mommy and daddy are more worried about what that looks like going to pick up. And the thing is, how do we balance this and not create an atmosphere of fear? Because I think a big secondary target of the Trump administration is to create fear and is to create unrest. And so look at how these, and I'm going to use the word raids in quotes, has been unleashed twice now in news. That's incredibly irresponsible. That is bad policy. That is creating a dangerous, fractured community where people are afraid to go to work, afraid to go to school, afraid to report crimes they see in the street. It's making people tense. It's making it so that people aren't going to get the medical treatment that they need. And that's affecting businesses. I mean, just take a look at the buying power of these communities. You know, $10.2 billion for Asian folks in Wisconsin. I think it's $11 billion for Latinx folks in Wisconsin. How responsible is that? Just economically speaking, that's ridiculous. People are looking for ways to get involved. And I think that people should figure out locally what the best solution is. People that are closest to the problem are closest to the solution. And if there's a way that they can meet with the people in their community specifically, they can always contact groups like the ACLU of Wisconsin, American Immigration Lawyers Association. I find many teachers and professors getting involved. A lot of artists are working to elevate this message. People are telling and sharing their stories on social media. It would be beautiful to see more of that happening. I think we as a people, having this type of discourse on the radio, meeting in community forums, having these like the demonstrations that were all over the state last week for the Light of Light for Liberty in Milwaukee and De Pere and Green Bay and Eau Claire and Wauwatosa and Madison. People are not accepting this. And so we need to come together and show other folks, sometimes for the first time, hey, you're different from me, but you have a right to be here too, and I respect you.
Yeah. Well, Emilio, thank you for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing so much of your work.
It was a pleasure to come here. Thanks for inviting me.
Emilio De Torre is the Director of Community Engagement at the ACLU of Wisconsin, and he spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers. You can find a link to more resources from the ACLU and other groups by going to wuwm.com.